You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Is the Green Party out of touch with Pacific people? Well, AUT journalism lecturer Richard Paumotatau seems to think so. In an article written for E Tangata, Paumotatau says the Greens do not do enough to reach out to Pacific voters, and the fact that only two Pacific candidates are on the list is a reflection that the party is indeed out of touch. Paumotatau says the Greens have much to learn about engaging with the Pacific population, and the list placing of Leilani Tamu, 20, and Te Anau Tuiono, 19, is evidence of that. In the article, Paumotatau also claims that Greens delegates were given a special instruction by the party's general secretary to ensure 22-year-old Chloe Swarbrick secured a top place. Earlier, I spoke to Richard about the claims he makes in the article. The heading of your article in E Tangata was, is the Green Party out of touch with Pacific voters? So, what do you think? Are they out of touch?
If you look at the list as an example of how the Green Party is engaging with the Pacific population and therefore Pacific voters, the only conclusion you can draw is, given there's been a message about refreshment and reshaping the list, it's clearly out of touch with the Pacific population. There are two really good candidates on that list, Leilani Tamu and Te Anau Tuiono, very, very competent people with big experience in their fields. So the logic would seem the Greens want to refresh, they want to reach different voting populations, voting bases. Let's put those people higher up so they have a chance to be inside the tent, at the decision table, central to what's going on. Look at that list, they're out of touch.
Is it surprising to you that on their list the two candidates you mentioned were so low down?
It was surprising, given the narrative coming out of the Greens around refreshment, around retooling, and a little bit surprising in the sense that we are facing, as the world is facing, a big issue around climate change, and it is the Pacific nations which are going to be profoundly affected. It's great to talk about wanting to do things around climate change, etc., but if you don't have people who are informed by what is happening in the region, in their communities, how can you make good decisions? What you end up doing is talking about people rather than talking with them.
Now, do you think this is just unique to the Green Party or a wider problem across all political parties?
Where the Pacific voting, where Pacific politicians sit is not unique to the Green Party. There have been problems in Labour over a number of years, but as we've seen, and as I pointed out, Labour has shifted some of that, and in the latest list, Carmel Sepuloni higher, Chris Farfoy higher, Aupito Williams-Seo higher. So Labour is rethinking strategically how it reaches out to people. It's appointed, it's got some really good other MPs, Porter Williams and Jenny Salesa. If we look at National, it's been really clear over the last two elections that it needed to reach out more to the Pacific voting population. So it began that process with Peseta, Sam Lotui-Inga and then Alfred Ngaro. Prior to that, it did have a Pacific MP, but that wasn't so good for them, and that's Anai Arthur-Anai. He ended up leaving the party. We are going to see, I understand, when it publishes its list, more people on the list representing the Pacific population, and this is a really difficult thing for all political parties to get their head around, because what exactly is a Pacific person? Is it is somebody who identifies as Pacific, somebody who has roots or history in that population, but it's also somebody who chooses to be part of that population, and that can be difficult for conventional politics because sometimes people are just not used to Pacific people or any other segment being part of the political process, and that's about growing up and maturing.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also said in your article that Green members were instructed by the party to ensure one particular candidate, Chloe Swarbrick, got a high list position. Is this true?
I've been told that there has been a movement to ensure that youth comes through. And so when you look at what has happened, clearly that instruction has somehow materialised for a particular candidate coming ahead of other young people. And so what that suggests, or the effect of the various narratives and communications, has seen Chloe move ahead. There are other young people who could have moved ahead, but they are actually not even in the top 20. But more importantly, when people suggest, say, around youth and adhering to the other kaupapa of the Greens around the number of women and Māori, mentioning youth privileges youth ahead of, say, ethnicity or rainbow, etc., etc. So that is what I am saying about that. And I'm actually saying that the Greens need to deal with the substance of that conversation, which is, are they able to, are they dealing with the Pacific population and voters?
Now, what is political engagement and voting rates like amongst the Pacific community in New Zealand?
In the general election, the big South Auckland electorate, where there's a lot big Pacific population, have traditionally turned out quite well for Labour. And like any voting group, so long as there's a force driving the voters to the polls, and I don't mean literally getting them in the car, but making a reason for them to vote, then the population will turn out. But what we're hearing anecdotally is that people are beginning to think, why would I vote? Nothing's going to change. I have no voice. And we may see that in a greater extent in this next election. But who knows? You know, the campaigns are still to begin.
Do you think it's got something to do with the fact there's a lack of Pacific voices in Parliament?
In the past, there has been a big lack of Pacific voices. We are seeing that change, and actually credit has to be given to Labour for its Pacific candidates, and also to National with Anai Arthur Anai, and then with Alfred Ngaro and with Peseta Samloto-Inga. But until more people are seen in Parliament, it's going to be a difficult issue for people to think about, do I actually have the right to be there? And we're seeing in local politics, certainly in Auckland, more Pacific people putting their hat in the ring to be on local boards or to be councillors. And it is a slow-ish process. But you can make it look like, you know, women in the boardroom. We should have more women in the boardroom, we are told. That's a slow process. I think these things evolve over time.
As for the Green Party, what do you want to see them do in the immediate future to address this imbalance that they've got?
It's not up to me to say what I want the Green Party to do. It's up to the Green Party to come to some conclusions around how it engages with the Pacific population, actually how it engages with other groups that are outside the norm of the Green Party look or voter. So that also needs to probably include people who we would like to call Asian. It needs to think about those things, and then it has a chance of reaching into a new voting base, and that's the important thing for it as a party, or for any party actually. This is a time where people who vote and people who are prepared to get engaged are thinking about the value of their vote, because as Yolande R. Chong said at the Pacific Media Awards last week, when you're in the voting booth, the polling booth, that is the time that you are equal to every other New Zealander. And so that's really the issue. How do I get those equal to every other New Zealanders into my camp, whether I'm National, Labour, the Greens, NZ First, ACT? It doesn't matter. The more critical thing is that people vote.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
That was AUT journalism lecturer Richard Parmitato speaking with Sam earlier about his piece. Now, there are a number of things touched there, but one of which was the allegation that Richard made in his article that specifically Gwen Shaw, the General Secretary of the Green Party, gave special instruction to Green delegates when the list was being made to boost Chloe Swarbrick up the list. And we approached the Green Party about this, and they told us that the claim made in the story is incorrect. No directive or instruction was given to delegates to support any particular candidate. Now, Richard didn't name who told him this, only said that it was a credible
Green member.
Yeah.
And also, Gwen Shaw actually commented on the article in question and actually asked Richard to remove the comment he made, which is interesting.
Yes.
They didn't actually release a press statement on that. It was an actual comment.
No, and they did say that Gwen herself would not be commenting on the issue.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.